Okay, we are going to go through and finish up lesson 32, which is the lesson in your book that's got all the questions in it. And then, if we have time, we'll go into the next lesson, number 33, which is the captivity. All right, once again, let's remember where we are and where we're going. We're, of course, here in beautiful downtown California, and right on the, essentially in the middle of the Western Hemisphere, really. And we're going to go all the way around the world, as it were, halfway around the world, to the Eastern Hemisphere, and come to Israel, or the Bible lands, which are really essentially at the same latitude that we are. So the climate is vaguely similar, except that they seem to have a big ocean right next to them. And, well, we do too, I guess. So I just try not to go look at it. So, but yeah, so they've got an ocean on their western side. They've got, you know, a coastal plain, much like California does. And then they've got mountain range that comes up, and then it dips down, of course, into the Jordan Valley. So it is similar to here. And as a matter of fact, as I understand it, though I'm not sure I checked this out for myself, Joshua trees grow here only in the Mojave Desert, but they also grow in Israel.
And, I researched
that once, and
that's what they said.
Yeah. So that's interesting. But if you get into Nevada, there's no Joshua trees. You get into Arizona, there's no Joshua trees, just like there's no saguaro cactus in California, or New Mexico, for that matter. Why it always irritates me to go to a tourist trap in New Mexico and pick up a look at a shirt that says, "Welcome to New Mexico," and it's got saguaro cactus all over it. You know, the cactus, they don't grow in New Mexico. But that's the symbol of the desert, I guess.
It's weird how the cactuses know about the borders.
I don't know how they know about the borders, but apparently they do.
Maybe they made a contract.
It must be. I actually read an article somewhere that said that somebody had done a survey to see how far west the saguaro cactus go, and they actually do go over. There are some saguaro over toward the Salton Sea on the California side. So I've never seen them, but that doesn't have anything to do with what we're talking about. So, as I mentioned, the Bible lands are what we're concerned about. And, of course, we've been talking about this relatively large area in general, and then we've been zooming in on Israel. And, of course, now, of course, since Israel has been taken away by Assyria, and then later Judah has been taken away by Babylon, we've got a much bigger scope of what we might refer to as the Bible lands now, because now we've got all these folks in with us here. So what we want to do is just quickly go through, I think, because the questions seem fairly simple, is those questions that we started last week on lesson 32. And I think we got through this first slide here about whether it's either Israel or Judah. And so let's just continue with that. All right, let's see if we can get this going. Now, was this the first slide? Okay, so the first one we have here, I don't think this was the... I think this is slide two. Yeah, it is slide two. Okay, all right. So Samaria was the capital of which, Israel or Judah?
Israel.
Israel, okay. And then next then, Jerusalem was the capital of?
Judah.
Okay, and then... who had the more tribes?
Israel
of course did. And who controlled Moab, or at least part of the time? I guess we did go over these last week.
We got down to about 8.
Did we get down to that far? Okay. Controlled Edom at least part of the time. You know, well, the first one was Israel, the next one probably Judah. had a descendant of David on the throne. Okay, did we have any descendants of David on the throne of Israel at any time? No. All right. And became wicked faster? Who was the fastest to run to sinfulness? It appeared like it was Israel, because, you know, and that's kind of a really subjective kind of question, because, you know, you look at both of the kingdoms, and we've got just rampant sinfulness, you know, almost from day one. But
First Kings 14:7.
Uh-huh.
We have done more evil than all everybody before you.
Oh, yeah. David did only the 9. Mm-hmm. But hast done evil above all that were before thee, and hast gone and made thee other gods and molten images to provoke me to anger, and hast cast me behind thy back. Mm-hmm. So in 1 Kings 14:9, of course, God... Who's the speaker here? Go tell Jeroboam. That's the prophet. Ahijah? Okay, so Ahijah, verse 6, Ahijah said that.
And he was the first king. I mean, I guess that's why I think that, because, I mean, he was the very, very first king, you know, and just starts off.
Yeah, okay, right. So, but I shouldn't think we could say that Rehoboam was any was any great personality himself. So, anyway, then the last one on this page, it had continual conflicts with Syria, and we did discuss that. That's Israel, because one of the main reasons was they were closer. Yeah. So, and then... continuing to answer Israel or Judah, and these should be in your book. So still worship Jehovah at the temple, at least outwardly. Yeah, that has to be Judah, because what did Rehoboam and Jeroboam do? Ended up dividing the kingdom, right? So Jeroboam told people not to go down to Jerusalem, and made it more convenient for them by putting... I want to say temples, not temples. High places, yeah. Where did he put the high places to divide them up?
Dan and Bethel.
Dan and Bethel, right. All right. Which one didn't have any good kings? I think we've already considered that. Obviously, Israel didn't have any good kings. And who worshipped the golden calves that Jeroboam set up? It says Israel, but actually, I think it turns out that later on, Judah did the same thing after Israel had been taken away. I think they went up and worshipped the golden calf at Bethel. I seem to remember in reading about that, but it just now popped into my head, so I don't have any backup for that. All right, who would most likely be invaded first by an army from Mesopotamia? The same ones that would be invaded first by people from Syria, right? So Israel. Who would most likely be invaded first by an army from Egypt? And once again, that has to do with proximity. So Judah was obviously much closer to Egypt, or was closer to Egypt, I should say. Or Judah was the kingdom that would they get to first. So that's why that's mostly the case. Then was carried away into Assyrian captivity. Who was carried away into Assyrian captivity? Israel was. Okay. And then, who was carried away into Babylonian captivity? Obviously, the other one, sort of like a true-false question here. This is a good one. Yeah, you have to have worked on this in your workbook. Name the kings from both kingdoms who were murdered by their own people. Shall we go down this now? You got Nadab, Elah, Jehoram, Zechariah, Shalem, and Pekahiah, and then Pekah, and then Ahaziah, and then Amaziah, or Athaliah, sorry. And why, when we get to Athaliah, do we decide to smile?
Well, she wasn't really the king. She just usurped.
Yeah, she was a usurper. She was the queen mother. And when her son died or was killed, Ahaziah, I think. But anyway, when he passed away, she just took over and ended up actually killing, having killed all the royal seed at that time. So Athaliah declared herself to be king, as it were. And perhaps we count her among the kings. And so if we count her among the kings, then we say that we don't have a person of the lineage of David here. But she was not the king that was either appointed by God or appointed by anybody in Judah.
And if you put her on that list, then you have one more that's down below it, because she apparently wasn't counted author either.
Oh, okay. All right. So we have, after her, then we have Joash, and then Amaziah, and then Amnon. Or not Amnon, Ammon. So.
Gedaliah,
of course, the text calls him the governor, I think.
Yes.
So, I don't know at that time what the difference between a governor and a king would be. I mean, they're all lackeys of the Assyrian government anyway. Gedaliah was from the southern kingdom. So,
well, actually, there were several from the southern kingdom up there.
Yeah, right. That's right.
Seven of them.
Yeah, so we've got 4 times 3 must be 12. And there's a number of them from either side. Now, who killed himself to avoid being captured? Zimri. All right. Now, if we look at the next bunch of questions, it says, name the first king of each new dynasty of Israel. And here, all you have to do is look in your table of kings. You remember that there's all the hash marks in between them. It says here's where a new dynasty is. Now, we made one correction in there. Mickey showed us where that was a mistake. I think we just had to move the hash marks down, didn't we? One generation. So, the first king of each new dynasty of Israel. So, who in Israel, who's the first king?
Jeroboam.
Okay. And then after him comes, what dynasty comes next? Who starts that one?
Baasha.
Yeah, Baasha starts the next one. And then the guy that we just talked about a minute ago?
Zimri.
And then after that? Omri. Okay. And then the next dynasty was? Jehu. Okay, and after him?
Shalom.
Don't everybody answer once now. Shalom. Okay, and then after that, we've got Menahem. And Pekah. And then finally?
Hoshea.
All right, so that's the order of the first king of each new dynasty. So, unlike in Judah, where we had a constant dynasty, you might say, of the sons of David. So, after Saul, anybody that sat on the throne of Judah was of the family of David. Okay. all right. On the next section, then, we have just the question, which king? And I think we've already answered most of this. Set up golden calves for his people to worship? Jeroboam did that. Okay. Who married Jezebel? Well, obviously Mr. Jezebel, right? Who was that? Okay. Ahab, right. Who killed all of Jeroboam's family? Who was sent by God to do that? Starts with a J or a B, either one. They both sound the same. Yeah, if you guess J, it's got to be fairly close, you know. Baasha. So, the person that killed all of Jeroboam's family was Baasha. All right. Who became king when he was only 8 years old? It starts with a J. Only 8 years old. This was our good king, right? Our bestest king. Okay. Who we just talked about this woman who killed her grandchildren and usurped the throne. Athaliah. Right. Okay. Now, we just talked about this one too. Who burned the palace over himself to keep from being captured? Zimri. Yeah. And then, who killed all of Ahab's family? That was Jehu. Yeah. So, yeah, he took care of Ahab's family for that. All right. Who lost nearly all of his territory to the Syrians? Pardon? Jehoahaz. Yes, that's correct. So he didn't have much luck with the Syrians. Who was stricken with leprosy because he tried to offer incense in the temple? Yeah, Uzziah. We all should remember that rather quickly because we talk about Uzziah a lot. What's the point we want to make about Uzziah and his offering of incense in the temple?
He wasn't a priest.
I believe the quotation is, "It pertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to offer incense." And what happened to Uzziah?
He got mad,
and then he got...
They were telling the king what to do.
Right. So he got mad, and then he got leprosy. That's right. So he had to shut himself up in a separate house the rest of the time of his kingly reign, however long that was.
So and that's what they remembered. He was a really good king up until that point, but then that was what they remembered him for, was that he was a leper.
Right. Yeah, that's true. And once again, it reminds me of Ezekiel 33 that says if a person is, and I'm very loosely, if a person is good all of his life and at the end commits transgressions, then none of his good deeds will be remembered. And it says also that if a person is bad all of his life and later on in life repents of that and becomes good, then his bad deeds will not be remembered against him by God. And so we spoke about the parable of the servants in the field. I forget what name we've given to it now, where the man went out and hired servants at the beginning of the day and said, "I'll agree with you for a shekel a day, and you come out and work." And then he continued to hire people until the 11th hour, and they all got the same, because the owner of the field said, "It's my money to do with as I please, and you agreed with me for a shekel. Now why are you whining about it?" So anyway, so Uzziah was stricken with leprosy, and as Swan points out, he was a good king up until that time, but he just became presumptuous and felt that he had to go in and offer this incense because it wasn't happening quick enough for him, I think is what it was.
I had to look that up because I thought this was the one where he said he fought to himself, but this is the one where it says his heart became so strong.
Well, his heart became strong.
Pride,
right, yep. Okay, once again, next set is which king once again? Or still, rather, I should say. All right. Had his life extended 15 years in answer to prayer. Everybody's known with this. Hezekiah. Okay. Hezekiah was a good king, one of the best. And who was it? Who was his grandson? I think it was. No, his son was Manasseh. Who was his grandson then? Josiah, right? So if I've got it correct, we have Hezekiah, Manasseh, Josiah. So we had Hezekiah was a really good king, and so was Josiah. And right in the middle, we have Manasseh, who we would characterize as what? Evil, as a matter of fact, the worst king, essentially. Of course, once again, I guess we're looking at degrees of worseness. but it was because of Manasseh that the kingdom was finally taken away. All right. Pardon?
Ammon was in there too.
Ammon? Really? So was Josiah was great-grandson?
Josiah was Ammon's son.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
So Ammon was
Manasseh's son. All right. All right. So we had Hezekiah, Manasseh, Ammon, and then Josiah. All right. A great-grandson. All right. Who cut up God's word with his penknife and burned it? Starts with a J. Yes, that's correct, Juan. Jehoiakim. Yeah, is that what you said?
Yeah.
Or somewhere close to it. Started with a J anyway. All right. Nebuchadnezzar burned the city of Jerusalem in his day. In other words, in what king's day? Zedekiah's day. Okay. And then, now I think we're going back a little bit here. Who refused to lighten the tax and work burden his father had begun?
Rehoboam.
Starts with a J, right? So, perfect. Who was hidden by Jehoiada the priest until he was 7 years old? Yeah, I think it's Jehoahash also. He's got Joash here, but I think it's Jehoahaz, right? I think it's the alternate name. Jehoash? Yeah, that's what it was. Why was he hidden? From whom was he hidden?
Athaliah.
From Athaliah. That's our one person on the king list that wasn't part of David's lineage and actually wasn't properly appointed to the throne anyway. She was the usurper from the chain. And so she killed all of the royal seed, but Jehoiada the priest managed to hide Joash until he was 7 whole years old. All right. Who was a good king himself, but made friends with Ahab?
Okay, all I can do is jump in Jehoshaphat.
I know it. Jehoshaphat. And I even looked up the etymology of jumping Jehoshaphat, and I couldn't find it anywhere. But, well, I've heard that all my life. I don't know what it's supposed to mean. And there's certainly nothing in there that says that Jehoshaphat ever jumped anywhere. So, I don't know where that comes from. Yeah. All right. Who hired Tiglath-Pileser to attack Israel and Syria? Ahaz did that. All right. Now we get to the prophets. So, which prophet predicted a drought that lasted 3.5 years? Elijah. This is from way back now. So, once again, we're starting back toward the beginning. And then, who was sent to warn the people of a foreign capital? We talked about him a bit.
Jonah.
Jonah, right. So, Jonah was sent to warn what foreign capital?
Nineveh,
which was the capital of
Assyria.
And what was Jonah's problem with that? What was Assyria essentially doing at the time that Jonah was sent?
Don't they say that they were troubling
Israel? Yes, they were troubling Israel at that time. We realize that Assyria had come down and they had essentially leveled most of the cities of Israel and had battled against them, essentially relentlessly. And God sends Jonah to go warn the people of Nineveh that they're sinful. And Jonah runs away to Tarshish, wherever that is. Some people think it's over towards Spain. God didn't much appreciate that. So what did he end up doing? He had the people on the boat throw him overboard.
And I thought that was really interesting because if we're talking ocean vessel, I mean, he really had to go a long ways to get to the ocean.
Yeah. Well, all of Israel is fairly close to the ocean, if we're talking about the Mediterranean.
Is that where he was to start with? I thought he was more up in... Well, maybe he wasn't.
I forget where it says that Jonah was from. Well, you probably turn to the book of Jonah and find that out. Let's see, Jonah, is that in the Old Testament? It doesn't say? Oh, okay. Go to Nineveh. 2, and arose up to flee to Tarshish. So he found a ship going to Tarshish. That's all we know. So.
All we need to know is he was away from the presence of the Lord.
Yeah. Right. So much like it appears that a lot of people thought that they could, hide under a rock to hide from God, or go into the forest and God wouldn't see what they're doing and things like that. So Jonah thought that if he ran the other way, God wouldn't see him and he wouldn't have to carry out God's command. However, God took care of that, and his friendly boat passengers with him tossed him overboard at his request. And God created a great fish to swallow him up and spit him out on the shore. So give him the idea that look, I sent you to Nineveh and I expect you to go to Nineveh, not to Tarshish. So he did. Yes, Randy?
Just out of curiosity, do you know if the story of Jonah took place after the Sennacherib incident?
Yeah, that I don't know that I've ever seen anything that indicates when it was placed, because it just talks about Nineveh in general and says that they repented, and Jonah was upset at that. And
it so. Seems to be that might explain why they were so quick to repent.
Okay.
Because here's a prophet of the God who killed
185,000. Yeah.
And the prophet of that God comes up and says, God says you need to repent or he's going to kill you. They might have taken that seriously because
they just had a reminder of that, yeah.
That's made me wonder. I didn't know what the timeline was on that.
I don't know. Chris, do you have any clue on that as to when Jonah was? I don't know. Personally, I don't see anything in Jonah that really gives us any clue. As a matter of fact, I don't even think it mentions the king's name. I just think it just says Nineveh, right? He proclaims to the Ninevites, it says. Where's the... In verse 7 of chapter 3, published... verse 6. And the tidings reached the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne and laid his robe from him and covered himself with sackcloth and ashes. So all it says is the king. So we don't even know what reign it was during. But that's certainly a reasonable speculation to say, well, 185,000 there are people just woke up dead one morning, and certainly an impetus for them to repent of what they might have done. So it does say that they repented. The authors of the book do make comment when we're talking about the carrying away by the Babylonians, that the Babylonians weren't nearly as ruthlessly cruel as the Assyrians were. Apparently the Assyrians were quite cruel to the people that they captured as they were taking them. Now, they did take them away and put them in other cities and other places, so they did essentially let them go. But when they were in the process of taking these people, taking their cities and things like that, they were incredibly ruthless bunch of people. The Babylonians apparently were not like that, relatively speaking, I guess. So, all right. who predicted that Josiah would destroy the shrine of the golden calf at Bethel? His name was not given. What did we call him in the text? Just man of God. Yeah. That's all it calls him. So we have no idea what his name might have been, and that's all that God needed to know. All right. Who told Jeroboam that he'd reign over 10 tribes? Who prophesied that? That was done by Ahijah. So Ahijah prophesied and told Jeroboam he would reign over 10 tribes. So if we go way back to the beginning of the divided kingdom, we'll see that as Jeroboam came back up out of Egypt, that Ahijah told him that he would reign over the 10 tribes. All right, back in time again, who was taken to heaven without dying? Elijah was, that's right. He was taken up in a whirlwind. And who was there to watch him be taken up? Elisha. And what would Elisha get if he saw him taken up in the whirlwind, if he saw Elijah taken up? Pardon? The power, right? The same power that, and he had double the power. Huh?
Double portion.
Double portion, it says. Yeah. So, all right. And then, Juan.
So, to answer Randy's question, Jonah's mentioned in Kings 14:25.
First Kings or Second Kings?
Second Kings
14:25, Jonah is mentioned?
Yes.
Ah. Second Kings 14:25. Jonah the son of Amittai, is that, that's the prophet, who was of Gath Hepher. Now we just have to look up where Gath Hepher was. Let me see if I can find it. G-H, now I'm going to go to the front of my Bible. Can't believe they took the index to the maps and split it up between the front and the back of the Bible. Gath Hepher, 6:3b. Sure, it's here somewhere. All right. Well, according to the people that edited the Bible that I've got, it's in the area of the Sea of Galilee, but I'm not finding it. There it is. Most likely took it from Joppa. Right. Oh, yeah, yeah, the Mediterranean. Let me see if I can terminate this program without messing up the computer and go over here back to chapter 33 and look at this map that we have here. Well, that's, yeah. Let me pull up the other maps that I've got. All right. I was sure I had a cursor here somewhere.
In Joshua.
Joshua?
Chapter 19. That land you're talking about is listed in verse 13 as being eastward toward the sunrise from the territory of Zebulun.
Eastward toward the sunrise.
East of Zebulun.
All right.
And Zebulun is just west of the Sea of Galilee.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So, let me see. Trying to find a decent map to use for this. Let me just go back here to the times of, I think we had one that was a little closer on page 101. you can see the Sea of Galilee here. You can't see anything, can you? That's interesting. Why did it do that? I did this once tonight. I think I wouldn't have to do it again. All right, so where was I? So, here at the Sea of Galilee up here, and according to the map that I have in my Bible, Gath Hepher is right up here toward Mount Tabor. So he had a ways to go to get to the sea. And there was a port here at Jaffa. There are other ports further up here, but they're controlled by the Phoenicians. So the one that he would have had available to him was the one here at Jaffa. And so he probably took it out of there. And, of course, he's got the whole Mediterranean Ocean to play around in here. So if we go back to the to the map of the world, you know, we realize that that Israel's right here. You can see the dead, barely see the Dead Sea right there, and there's the Sea of Galilee. So he would have gotten off, and he wanted to take this ship somewhere to wherever Tarshish is. And people have said that they thought that Tarshish was up here in Spain, but I don't know that anybody's ever identified exactly where Tarshish is. But obviously, Nineveh is much closer than Tarshish is if it's over there. So he had a good-sized journey to go to get to there. But God had him put back on the coast over here and said, get over there to Nineveh and do your job. So that's what he ended up doing, fortunately. Fortunately, I guess we could say for Assyria. All right. We had talked about who was taken to heaven without dying. That was Elijah, of course. And then the prophet taken to heaven without dying. Yeah. All right. Okay. All right. Which prophet then was killed by the king his father had saved from death? What prophet was killed by the king that his father had saved from death? Zechariah. Okay. I don't have a reference for that.
Second Chronicles
24:17. Okay, so what does that say? After the death of Jehoiada came the princes of Judah and made obeisance to the king. Then the king hearkened unto them. But Jehoiada waxed old and was full of days, and he died 130 years old. They buried him in the city of David among the kings, because he had done good in Israel. This is Jehoiada. Isn't he the one that helped Joash?
He saved Joash,
yeah. Saved Joash. So, anyway.
That's in the text here, in the questions, that's the author's reference.
Oh, okay. All right. Now, once again, we continue on with what prophet are we talking about. Who assured Hezekiah that the Assyrians would not fight Jerusalem at that time? Very famous prophet. Okay. The prophet that assured Hezekiah that the Assyrians would not fight Jerusalem at that time was Isaiah. So, it's interesting to see the names of the various prophets that we've read about standalone, like Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Isaiah and things like that, and realize that, well, this is actually where they fit in, finally. We have a good idea of where they fit in now. All right. What prophet said, give up, too late to avoid destruction? I don't know whether this is a paraphrase or what, but... What were the people getting ready to do? They're getting ready to go down to Egypt. Who told them that rather than do that, they should go to the Babylonians? Who said that? Yeah, that's correct. Jeremiah said that. He counseled them not to go down to Egypt. He said, you should turn yourself over to the Babylonians, the Chaldeans, he called them, and then everything would be good to you. But if you go to Egypt, you'll end up in bad straits here. So that was Jeremiah. So who made an axe head float on the water? Elisha. That's his double portion there of that he got from Elijah, right? Or because he was there anyway. Who described the sin of Israel as spiritual adultery? Okay. All right, the prophet Hosea said that what Israel was doing was spiritual adultery. Who predicted the fall of Nineveh and rejoiced about it? Nahum. All right. Nahum the prophet rejoiced about the fall of Nineveh. Much like Jonah, but Nahum was given a different direction than Jonah was. Who uses a swarm of locusts as a symbol of God's judgment? Joel. Right.
The names of the prophets are conveniently located in the reference of the ends of some of them.
At the what?
The names of the answer are conveniently located in the reference that follows the question. In the book.
I never even looked in the book. Okay. Interesting. All right. So great. So that should have been fairly easy then. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
That's also used way back in Exodus.
Against Pharaoh, the locust.
Sure. That's right. And these weren't the only times that God used locusts as a symbol of judgment. Yeah.
So in those days, certainly when with the atomic bomb, wouldn't really mean the metal.
No, it wouldn't. That's right. Yeah. All right. Which foreign king became king by smothering his predecessor to death? You remember that what?
I forget how to say, is it Haziel?
Haziel, right. So, all right. So, Chris, I've got actually a bell right here.
Really?
Yeah. Chris set that up. So, hopefully that warned both sides already, just right now. There's one in the back classroom and there's one in this hallway. So, is that slick or what? We'll find out in 5 minutes whether it worked.
Can we buzz you back?
No. It's a one-way pager. Okay. All right, so yeah. Haziel of Syria. You remember that one of the prophets of Israel talked to him and said that he would become king of Syria. And Haziel kind of helped that to happen by smothering the king with a wet towel or whatever it was. So who awoke one morning to find 185,000 of his soldiers dead? Sennacherib of Assyria, right? Yeah. Or, as we say in our vernacular, 185,000 of them woke up dead. Who destroyed the city of Jerusalem? Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon. Yeah. And who killed Josiah in battle as he was passing through the land of Israel? Yeah. Pharaoh Necho of Egypt, yes.
Are the Babylonians and the Chaldeans the same?
They appear to use their word interchangeably as near as I can tell. However, it may be that the Chaldeans are the army of Babylon. I don't know. I haven't looked into that. But I do see that they do use that word to be interchangeable.
But isn't that like Assyria and Aram?
Yeah.
Because that's how, depending on which translation you're looking at.
Yeah. What do we say? We say something in the Chaldeans. The what?
But like even in Daniel, it talks about the Chaldean king, and then 2 chapters later, it talks about the king of Babylon.
Oh.
The Chaldean king and the king of Babylon.
All right. There's a task for you to look up.
I was asking you.
We have situations like that. Like years ago, we talked about the Russians or the Soviets sort of interchangeably.
Yeah.
You know,
right. Okay. Yeah. As we continue on then with which foreign king, who hired men to kill Gedaliah? That was right toward the end of the things.
Balas
of Ammon. Yeah. All right. And who took the first major group of captives from Israel?
Tiglath-Pileser
of Assyria, right. So notice we're jumping back and forth here. So the first foreign king to attack after the division of the kingdom. Okay. Shishak, Shishak, whatever, of Egypt was the one that first attacked after the kingdoms were divided. So I think Shishak saw this as an opportunity for him to expand his territory. Who tried to force Ahaz of Judah to join a coalition against Assyria? Now notice this is against Assyria. So,
reason
of Syria. Do what?
Of Syria.
Of Syria, that's right. Okay. And that takes care of them, their questions. And end of slideshow. Click to exit. Good, thank you. So, yeah, right. Let's do this. So I think next time what we want to do is we want to take up the beginning of lesson 33 in the lesson book, which is the captivity. So that's let's see, chapter. Oops, that's not it. That's not it. That's not it. I thought I had it open. But I don't have it open. But anyway, so look at the next chapter that talks about the captivity, and that'll be what we want to go with next. So hopefully Mickey will be back Sunday. Thank you.